we continue with the study of regeneration, and this is part B. Because we are of a New Testament people, we are going to transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we're going to first of all do a little bit of review from part A. The word regeneration in the Greek text is palingenesia, and is used in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, and Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Though the word palingenesia, or regeneration, is used but, two times in the New Testament, it is referred, implied in many more, and the descriptions are many and very important, very instructive. Definitions or descriptions of regeneration, whether in the Oxford Dictionary and Thesaurus, or the various concordances and lexicons by either Strong, Zodiotis, Thayer, Persbacher, or Mounts agree. Regeneration as a verb is defined as to bring or come into renewed existence, generate again, improve the moral condition, to impart a new, more vigorous, greater spiritual life to a person or institution, to invest with a new and higher spiritual nature, to restore or be restored to an initial state of reaction or process. Regeneration as an adjective and as used in the Christian Holy Bible is defined as spiritually born again, reformed, spiritual rebirth, the new birth, spiritual renovation, spiritual restoration, to renew to good condition, recovery, the production of the new life consecrated to God, the restoration, the renewal, the renovation of a person or thing to its pristine state. It is to begin the glorious change of all things in heaven and earth for the better, the restoration of the primal and perfect condition of things which existed before the fall of our first parents. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 continues as the foundational verse for our study of regeneration, the context being verses 3 to 8. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration through the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Verse 8, of course, gives one of the evidences of regeneration. We that believe in God must and will be mindful, careful to maintain good works. That being, of course, works of righteousness. In chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, we read one of many verses telling us what the good works consist of. We, the genuine converts, the disciples of Lord Jesus, we, the members of his church, the church he is building, must and will deny all ungodliness, worldly lusts. We will live soberly, righteously, godly, we will be looking for, anticipating, awaiting the blessed expectation, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. For he gave himself for us, that he redeem us from all iniquity, to purify unto himself his own distinct, unique people, being zealous to do good works, works of righteousness. We refer again to John chapter 3. And verses 3 to 13. This text, of course, is used by many to explain regeneration. In this we read that, of course, you know, Jesus and Nicodemus were having a meeting. It was Nicodemus that requested the meeting. And he came by night to Jesus and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus inquired, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born or reborn? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, Ye must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell from where it came. So it is with the Spirit, with everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus inquired, How can these things be? Jesus answered, saying, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say to you, we speak that we know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe? How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Of course, this text is used by many to explain regeneration, for as we have read in verses 3, 5, 6, 7, and 8, are descriptions and definitions of regeneration. Born again, born of water and the Spirit, born of the Spirit. The including of water does not refer to baptism. It refers to the Holy Spirit and Holy Scripture washing the believer's mind, soul, spirit, flesh of sinful affections and lusts and thoughts by regeneration. Persons professing to be Christians are without excuse, for the New Testament, Matthew to Revelation, is saturated with descriptions, information, advice, examples of what defines and describes regeneration, whether it be in Greek, German, English, Spanish, or whichever language. Titus chapter 3, verse 5, John chapter 3, verse 5, tell us that the agent in regeneration is the Holy Spirit in Scripture, communicating divine life to the soul, spirit, mind of they believing unto obedience, the Lord Jesus. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32 tell us, if ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, I know them. They follow me. I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, No man or even a woman is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 tell us that Christ, being made perfect, is the author of eternal salvation to all they that obey him. God self-manifest in human flesh. The Lord Jesus is the regenerator, transmigrating divine life into the soul, spirit, mind of they that in loving him keep his commandments and words. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 23 records the Lord Jesus taught in this portion of his upper room discourse that we that love him will keep, that is, to believe and live obedient to his commandments and words. And he will pray the Father, and both he, Jesus, and the Father will make their abode in that person by transmigrating their spirit, the Holy, into that person, that they may abide in and manifest themselves to and in that person, teaching, enabling, causing that person to learn, remember, live that which he, the sovereign Lord God, King, and Savior, teaches us in his scripture, the Christian Holy Bible. God the Father and Son Lord Jesus transmigrates his spirit and scripture, the Holy, into the soul, spirit, mind of the person loving him unto obedience for the purpose of metamorphosing, transforming by supernatural means the character, nature of the soul, spirit, mind of the person to Christ likeness. Time flies when you're having so much fun, and we must progress to what regeneration looks like in the New Testament Christian. I did not put this down in any kind of a thesis or a treatise form. However, there is a compilation of a number of chapters and verses that if we read and apply them, it will aid us into the program of regeneration, which of course regeneration also includes sanctification and justification and consecration. In John chapter 3, verse 5, verse 6, chapter 7, verse 8, we read the New Testament Christian, the regenerated person, is born again, born of the Spirit. This is a portion, of course, of the narrative of Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a master, a teacher of the Jews, having consultation with Jesus. Nicodemus showed that he was regenerated. He, with Joseph of Arimathea, took down the body of Jesus and with myrrh and aloes wrapped it in linen. And there is the traditional teaching among many that for his conversion to Jesus, Nicodemus was baptized by Peter and John. He was excommunicated as a Pharisee and as a Jew. He lost his property, his wealth, and of course was ostracized by his family. John Apostle, in the gospel narrative assigned him, tells us in chapter 1, verse 13, we that receive Christ are we that believe in his name. We that believe in his name receive Christ, for he has given us the privilege, the ability to be children of God. For he transmigrates his spirit, the Holy, into our spirit. Thereby, we are born of God. Apostle Peter, in his first epistle, and chapter 1, verse 23, and the context is found from verses 13 to 23. It says this is a call to a Christian dedication. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope and expect to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of behavior. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or behavior, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but is manifest in these last days for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. These words of Scripture tell us we experiencing regeneration. The regenerate will, through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, will obey the truth, the incorruptible seed, the word of God, thus purifying our souls, living holy, obedient unto God, esteeming the Lord Jesus for his crucifixion. Our faith, our expectation is in God. Apostle John, in his first epistle, and chapter 2, and verse 29, tells us, if ye know that he is righteous, that is, Christ, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. This declares that they, knowing Jesus is the Christ, and that he is righteous, just, and holy, will do righteousness, because we are born of him, God. Chapter 4, and verse number 7, and of course in 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. John has declared that we that are born of God will love our fellow Christians, for they love God and know God. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him, also that is begotten of him. We that believe Jesus is the Christ love Jesus, the Christ is born of God, and we that love God the Father love his Son, God the Son, Jesus the Christ. Apostle John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declares that we are born of God, overcometh the world. That is, as we read and live chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Of course, verse 1 we have already read, so we'll start at verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, this overcoming, This does not refer to the sinless perfection. We will live in the eternal holy Jerusalem. But it comes close, and it does refer to, and be much aware, we born of God must not, will not, never, no, never commit those sins Apostle Paul refers to in his epistles to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 8 through 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Ephesians chapters 4 and 5. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 and verse 9. Sins that the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, declares that they doing them will not inherit eternal life in the kingdom of Christ and God. In the epistles he penned, Apostle Paul uses a terminology like a new creature or a new creation, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The new man, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Risen with Christ, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, to describe, identify the regenerate, we experiencing regeneration. Paul, in the epistles, emphasized the present life of we, the regenerated. For example, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we read there, Paul writes, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect in the will of God. Let me see. Okay, Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 to 26. This has to do with the fruit of the Spirit. We, the regenerated, will show forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, for against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh of the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. And let's see. There, of course, we have already mentioned about Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 6, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. The regenerated, we experiencing regeneration, can and will do these things by following this advice in Ephesians chapter 6. And starting in verse 10, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The epistles, quite naturally, reflect that which our God, Lord and King Jesus, teaches in the Gospels, implying, inferring regeneration and the regenerated. Remember, Lord Jesus is our Holy One. Therefore, it is his philosophy and he alone that we will follow. We will not follow the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and chapter through into and ending at chapter 5, at chapter 7, verse 27, is Lord Jesus' philosophy for living the Christian life in this present life. There are 104 verses of a philosophy here. If each one of us takes the time to memorize one verse a day and apply it, at the end of 144 days, we will be able to repeat and to live the Lord's philosophy for living the Christian life in this present life. Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. We read about Jesus curing the Gadarene demoniac of madness. Now, instead of being like a wild man, the demoniac was now calm. He was sitting down. He was clothed. He was of sound mind. He wanted to accompany Jesus. The man was regenerated. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. Matthew gives his testimony. He left off working at the Roman tax collection agency to follow Jesus. Chapter 9, verse 17. The regenerate are compared with new bottles into which new wine, this being the Holy Spirit, is poured. Think of this in relationship to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. In which we read that they that are Christ have crucified the flesh of sinful affections and lusts. The regenerate, we experience regeneration, crucify our flesh of sinful affections and lusts. Chapter 10 in Matthew, Mark chapter 13, verses 9 through 13, Luke chapter 21, verses 12 to 17. The regenerate, we experiencing regeneration, will be willing to suffer indignities for our God, Lord and King Jesus, for his name, his church, his faith. Matthew chapter 10, verses 26 to 33. Luke chapter 12, verses 27. Verses 2 to 7. Of course, we are reminded of this back in Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 8 and 17. The regenerate must not, will be afraid of those that oppose, that reject the Lord God, those that can kill the body, but not the soul. But we must fear God, the Lord, for he is able to destroy soul and body in hell. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. Luke chapter 12, verses 51 to 53, and chapter 14, verses 26 to 27. The regenerate will separate from those that live wickedly, even though those wicked include family members. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 to 50. Mark chapter 3, verses 31 to 35. Luke chapter 8, verses 19 through 21. The regenerate, those experiencing regeneration, are of the family of God in Christ. For we do the will of the Heavenly Father, which is to obey the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, 18 to 23, the parable of the sower. Verses 24 to 30, and 36 to 43, the parable of the wheat and tares. The regenerate, we experience regeneration. Receive the word of the Lord, and we read it. Study it, learn it, obey it, and show forth evidences of regeneration. For the Lord God has made us citizens in the eternal holy Jerusalem. In other portions of chapter 13, the regenerated are indicative of spiritual health. They that having received eternal life, or in other words, a citizenship in the kingdom of God, from God, grab a hold of Christ, eternal life, and by the grace of God, won't let go. Once again, think of John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. If ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are those who inquire, free from what? Well, the truth is, it is free from the power, the guilt, and the consequence of sin. Chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Once again, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give to them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them me, is stronger than all. No one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20. Luke chapter 17, verse 3. The regenerate will forgive fellow Christians for any and all perceived wrongs. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 29. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, and verse 9 of Matthew chapter 19 reminds us again of chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, Luke chapter 12, 51 to 53, chapter 14, verses 26 to 27. The regenerated will separate from those that live wickedly, even though some, many, perhaps even all of the wickedly include family members. Matthew chapter 20, verse 29 through 34. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. They that receive the light of the gospel and salvation are thankful, and of course are among the regenerated, and they will repent of whatever sins they have been doing and will follow Jesus. Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. The regenerated, are they preparing for that day they see Lord Jesus face to face? Beware hypocrites, antinomians, compromisers, heretics, false confessors of faith, apostate will not inherit eternal life in the kingdom of God. Our Lord King Jesus emphasizes this fact in chapter 23, where he rakes ecclesiastical scribes and Pharisees across the coals for their hypocrisy. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. The regenerated are we that are prepared to meet the Lord Jesus, whether when their life in the present world is over or when the Lord takes us out before the great tribulation. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. The regenerate, regenerated use their abilities and their money for the Lord Jesus. Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 to 46. Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 42. Luke chapter 22, 7 to 46. John chapter 13, verses 21 through 38, and also John chapter 14, verses 1 through 17 to 26. The regenerate or regenerated will observe the Lord's Supper, remembering the Lord Jesus, and will do so with purity of soul, spirit, and mind. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 15, Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8, Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10, and compare this with Romans chapter 8, verses 11 to 14. The regenerated live regenerated, having put to death, crucified the flesh of sinful affections and lusts. And we turn over to Matthew chapter 19, verses 28 and 29. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, we read the word regenerated. In the King James Version, in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28, we read once again the word regeneration. However, I understand that in the ESV it is called New World, but they still use the same Greek word, palingonesia. And also over into Acts and chapter 1, verse number 6. Matthew 19, verses 28 through 29. The Lord Jesus said to his first century disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters, father, mother, wife, children, lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." And Acts chapter 1, verse 6. This has to do with immediately before the ascension takes place. The disciples have come together and they have met with Christ, and they ask of him, saying, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" We have taken a look at a number of chapters and verses concerning what regeneration looks like in the New Testament, or rather in the New Testament Christian. Read these chapters and verses which I have listed, and I should listen, and I should read them also again and again. Read them carefully. Study carefully. Learn carefully. Live carefully. No matter how often we have, no matter how mature we are in the faith of the Lord Jesus, we are in need to read and apply again and again. Application is essential for our fellowship with Lord Jesus. And Holy Scripture with the Holy Spirit prepares us, makes us ready to meet the Lord, to be with God the Lord Jesus in his kingdom, when he regenerates, when he renovates his creation and establishes his visible theocratic kingdom, the eternal holy Jerusalem. That is all for today. Amen.